Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. This is a special episode of our podcast, by request, actually, for the month of Elul, the month in the Jewish calendar that is just before the holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're going to talk about teshuvah, faith, and forgiveness, and how these three related ideas are central to our relationships.
Well, you brought up a term, teshuvah, and I'm not sure that everybody might be familiar with that. So why don't you explain what teshuvah or teshuvah, because I guess there's two different ways to pronounce it if you're coming out of different backgrounds. So for our purposes, well, I might say teshuvah and I might say teshuvah. So why don't you tell us what they both mean?
It's usually translated repentance, but the root meaning of the word actually means return. So the idea of teshuvah is central in the month of Elul and the entire high holiday period. In fact, the 10 days between starting with Rosh Hashanah and ending up on Yom Kippur are known in Hebrew as the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, which means the 10 days of teshuvah, often translated, as I say, repentance. But it's really returning, and I think that idea is absolutely essential. It's not so much that you have to make yourself into a good person. It's that you're returning to being the good person you already are, even though, of course, we've all messed up. That is the human condition. But in Judaism, there is no sense of original sin. We are born pure. We are all valid people to start with. Of course, we mess things up, but we are still valid people to start with. So teshuvah is about coming back to that essence of yourself that's already there and already good.
Like we say in our daily prayers, Elokai neshama shenatata bi tahora hi, the God, the soul you have given us is pure.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So what does this have to do with faith and forgiveness?
Well, so this gets into some concepts that I've covered in the book that this podcast is based on. The book is called Reigniting the Spark. And what I say in there is that faith, and I give a pretty general and not very religious definition of faith, although it's consistent with religious faith, but it's not the same. Faith is when you accept that reality is right. And what that means is none of us is a mistake. I'm not a mistake. You're not a mistake. Nobody else is a mistake. We make mistakes, of course, but we are not mistakes ourselves. So faith is what allows us to realize what we've done wrong, and even apologize to those we've hurt. You know, if you think about that, if you don't have a solid sense of your own validity, it is very difficult to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I feel bad for having done that. It's very difficult to feel appropriate guilt if you're just dissolving in a sense of shame, if you're feeling annihilated because you don't feel a sense of actual basic validity. So when you are evidencing faith, that's what allows you to look courageously at the things you've done that aren't so good and actually own up to that and then maybe even be able to apologize and ask for forgiveness. So faith is a basic concept that I think you need faith in order to do teshuvah, in order to return, in order to have that sense of returning to your basic validity. So forgiveness is when you can let go of the anger when something has happened to you, when you've been hurt by something. And it's interesting that forgiveness doesn't mean that you're necessarily absolving someone else of responsibility. In fact, quite the contrary. There's nothing to forgive someone for if you realize, wow, they didn't really didn't do anything wrong. Forgiveness is when you accept what happened and let go of the anger about it so that then you can work with it. And then you see, is it possible perhaps to repair the relationship? You could forgive somebody, but nevertheless decide you can't trust them anymore and you're just not going to continue the same kind of relationship. Or you can forgive somebody and realize that what they did doesn't mean you can stop trusting them. It means you could rebuild trust and continue a relationship and do it on a basis where you're not consumed by anger. So forgiveness isn't actually about whoever it is you're trying to forgive. Forgiveness is about yourself.
But it can also mean that you don't necessarily have to reconcile with the person you're forgiving. Yes?
Very true. Yes, indeed. And I actually write about that in the book. That, you know, I've met people who have forgiven abusive ex-spouses, for example, who against whom they nevertheless maintain a restraining order.
Yeah.
In other words, they don't trust them at all, but they don't bother being angry anymore. They're just careful. They stop tearing themselves up about it. That's what forgiveness allows you. It's really a pathway to emotional freedom. And I do note, and I think it's important especially around this time of year, around Elul, where we're really focusing on being able to acknowledge what we've done wrong and forgive what others have done wrong. I do note that there are reasons often when people aren't ready to forgive. If you're in the middle of continuing to be hurt, the anger may be a necessary part of freeing yourself from being oppressed by somebody. So people aren't always ready to forgive when others might wish that they are ready to forgive. And also, if somebody is dealing with unprocessed trauma, in other words, if they're feeling like it's happening now, even if it isn't, they need to be able to process old trauma sometimes before they're able to forgive what's happening in the present.
And I think it's also important to note that what you said about in terms of might not being ready to forgive, that can sometimes take years, can't it?
It certainly can.
Sometimes takes a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon that happens on the individual basis, and it happens on the collective basis as well. You know, for Jews as a group to forgive the occurrence of the Holocaust, that's a pretty tall order. And I don't want to get too sidetracked by that sort of thing, but I think of it certainly nowadays in terms of the Black Lives Matter, the protests that are happening, that for Black people as a group to collectively forgive the wrongs that have been done is not a process that is going to be quick or easy, and is not a process that those of us who are not Black can demand to speed up any faster than is possible. And that's also an important understanding of forgiveness. You know, if I have wronged you, I, of course, want you to forgive me. But for me to insist that you do it faster than you are able is just compounding the damage.
Mm. Now, one of the things, though, this is a specifically, well, at least in my background, a Jewish thing that I was always taught is that you go to somebody whom you have wronged and you ask them for forgiveness, you know, at this time of year. And if you ask them and they refuse to forgive you, you have three chances to ask for forgiveness. And after the third time that you ask, if they still haven't forgiven you, if you've made that sincere effort, then you can let go of that anger and guilt, that the onus is no longer on you as the person who did the wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's an element there of just sort of practical emotional calculus. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't have to sit there eating yourself up, because if you have genuinely made that effort to ask for forgiveness, you shouldn't be the one, I guess, being penalized in the long run. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, actually, maybe we can segue into what I talk about in the book about three steps to forgiveness, because I think that relates very much to what you're asking about. I talk about three steps, and I think of them, you know, not rigidly so, but I think of them as sequential. The first, I'll lay out what the three steps are. The first step is forgive yourself. The second step is forgive those who hurt you. And the third step is to forgive God. I'll come back to that one in a bit. So that first step of forgiving yourself, I think, is really crucial, because if someone else has hurt me, let's talk about that one first. You know, we'll come back around to the ones where I've hurt someone else. But if someone else has hurt me, there's always a part of myself that still blames myself for not preventing it. You know, I somehow should have realized that I was going to get hurt and I should have stopped it. And it was, you know, there's going to be a part of myself I'm going to blame. And if I'm not able to forgive myself, if I'm not able to simply accept, you know what, I did the best I could under the circumstances, with hindsight, I can look back and see other things I could have done to prevent myself being hurt, but I did the best I could. You know, that is in general always true, really. I mean, the forces that were operating at that time, what I knew, what I didn't know, what I happened to think of, those, once I accept that, then I can say, okay, I'm still a valid person. I learned from it. I'm still capable of protecting myself to the extent I can. I can't always prevent getting hurt. Then I can relax and not be angry at myself.
So it sounds like the pain you're holding on to is your own.
Precisely, yes. And that's true if someone else has hurt me. And that's also true if I've hurt someone else. If I've hurt someone else and I'm going to feel appropriate guilt right? I should feel guilty. If I've hurt you, I should feel guilty about that. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something that I, at least I should start off by feeling bad about it. I don't want to cause anyone else pain, especially someone I love. And if it goes to guilt, it's because I look back and I say, oh my God, I violated my own values. I should not have done that. You know, sometimes I might do something that has the effect of hurting someone, but I nevertheless would feel like, no, I'm sorry. I needed to do that. I'm sorry for the pain it caused, but I still made the decision and I would make the same decision again. But then there are those times when I just blew it. You know, I just didn't think of something or was not being a good person for some moments and did something hurtful. And that's when I should feel appropriate guilt. And if I can't forgive myself, I'm going to get stuck in that guilt, which does the person I've hurt absolutely no good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can think of circumstances where I've been on the other side of that, where somebody has hurt me, but they're eating themselves up so much that I have to spend a lot of energy taking care of their guilt rather than their saying, oh, I'm so sorry. And that's all I would have taken from my end. You know, it's like, thank you. I appreciate that. I forgive you. Let's move on. No big deal.
Yeah.
So forgiving yourself is really crucial. And then the second step, I claim that forgiving those who hurt you, you know, if someone has hurt me, once I've forgiven myself, it's a pretty simple step in theory to forgive whoever's hurt me, because it's the same thing. It's the same understanding. If I can recognize I was doing the best I could, even if it wasn't great at the time, I can realize that about whoever hurt me. It's like, well, given what they were thinking and feeling and the forces operating on them, they did what they did. You know, I mean, it's just going to have to accept they did what they did. I'm not going to say it was okay.
Right. So you're not justifying what they did or excusing their actions.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. But I am recognizing that I better accept the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that comes up a lot in couples, particularly, and I'll explain in a moment why I have infidelity in particularly and on my mind, because we're going to be doing an interview in a podcast very soon, focusing especially on infidelity, someone who wrote a book on infidelity. So that often comes up between couples where, you know, somebody has been unfaithful, the party who was hurt by that, you know, the one who wasn't unfaithful, is justifiably angry, but also needs to recognize that there was a context for it. I never blame the person who didn't cheat for the cheating of the other person. It wasn't, you know, they didn't make the other person cheat. But they better see what happened as somehow meaningful or they won't learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of being able to forgive yourself and then forgive the other person, it's like, well, I don't have to be angry about it anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to understand it. And again, could mean that I would say, well, I can't trust that person. Or it could mean that I would say, wow, if I were in a similar circumstance, you know, hard as it is to imagine, maybe I would have done something similar and we can work with that. It's meaningful. So forgiving whoever's hurt you becomes possible when you can forgive yourself.
Mm. I think we've both seen people who are very angry and have held on to slights, often lifelong slights, and it produces a bitterness and an anger in their personality that they just can't let go of this whatever it was that got them to this place. And they become angry people that are consumed by this rage in everything they do. So like you were saying earlier, you have to forgive yourself. Otherwise, you just get stuck.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the impediments to getting past those, you may be referring to, you know, we've seen lots of families, really, where there are cutoffs, you know, where mm-hmm. and it might last a generation or so.
Yeah.
Somebody is slighted or they have some, difference in business or somebody accuses someone of something and it just lasts for years. And one of the impediments to getting past that is that somebody might well feel, maybe without thinking this through consciously, but somebody might well feel that if I were to let go of this anger I've been hanging on to for lo these many decades, that what's wrong with me that I would have held on to it that long? You know, to rethink it, you have to be able to forgive yourself for having thought it for so long. To change your mind about something is emotionally dangerous work. You know, it's like, oh no, was I wrong all of those years? It's mm-hmm. it's a difficult thing to do. So forgiving yourself, again, facilitates forgiving those who hurt you. I want to get to the third step, which may sound a bit odd, but I think it's really an important one. Once you can forgive yourself and forgive those who hurt you, you have to forgive God. Now, what does that mean, especially to people for whom the very concept of God may be problematic? You know, they may have these sort of childlike images of God that they learned very young. And I'm thinking of a far less simplistic view of God. And so if the term God is difficult for you, just think in terms of, you know, the sum total of the forces of the universe that are beyond our any individual's understanding. But we have to be able to forgive God in this sense, that we have evolved as creatures to have this belief, a necessary belief, even though it's fundamentally a delusion, but it's a necessary delusion, that we have control over what's going on. We have some control over what's going on, you know.
Free will.
We have free will, of course. But even with free will, we can't control everything that happens. We can't always prevent bad things from happening. Mm-hmm. We can't even always prevent ourselves from doing bad things.
Right.
So we have this tantalizing sense that we have some control over things, and yet bad things happen anyway. And, you know, the classic example, you know, Rabbi Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, you know, the idea that even bad people sometimes get away with it and good people get hurt, you know, forgiving the fact that the universe operates the way it does so that we can work with it rather than being angry at the universe for the way it works, being appreciative of it and learning from it even when it seems painful. Those are all necessary parts of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a custom during the month of Elul in particular, this month leading up to the high holidays, the days that are particularly focused on the concept of teshuva, it's a custom to apologize to others that you've hurt or even may have hurt and to ask for forgiveness. And of course, to ask for forgiveness implies that you are willing to grant forgiveness yourself, which again is, it's really more of an internal process than it is interpersonal. You know, for me to be willing to forgive someone who might have hurt me implies that I'm willing to accept their validity as well as my own. So especially during these days of Elul, I just want to invoke a blessing that we may all have the courage to examine ourselves, to face our shortcomings, to resolve to do better, to forgive ourselves and those who have hurt us, and to enter the new year with renewed faith.
So Shana Tova Umetuka. Have a sweet and happy new year.
Shana Tova Umetuka. Thank you.